The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey-o.
Still losing weight?
Yeah.
What are we down to?
I didn't do great this past weekend with it, but yeah.
What's the number?
235.
Man, you are coming for it. Okay, 235.
Kelly, watch out, Gil.
Kelly Bidlin disappearing as we speak. Let's talk with Drew Dinsick from his lair in the LBC, Long Beach, California. He is the co-host of not one but two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, and of course NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @whale_capper. Just the man we wanted to talk to today. How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. I am very, very, very much enjoying the championships at the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club in Wimbledon, London.
Love formality.
It has been a wild start to this tournament. We could spend this entire 10-minute segment just talking about that Fanini Alcaraz match and all of Fanini's stories through the years. Anyone who's really kind of been on the tennis betting journey that I've been on time wise, like betting like 2017 to now, like Fanini was always one of the most entertaining watches if you were, you know, kind of watching beyond betting. And the fact that he produced some of that magic in his last ever kind of slam setting on center court against Alcaraz was just flat out awesome. That was the perfect sort of sign off from him. I've rewatched a couple of his just points of how in the world did he do that yesterday with just joy, and very, very thankful that that we got to see that. People are taking away anything about Alcaraz out of that match or reading it completely backwards. Like, that was all about Fanini showing up and being like, I still have magic in this racket and I'm going to show you.
Fanini was the a top 10 player. He was the number 9 player in the world back in 2019. And as I mentioned, like the Kyrgioses and the Bubliks of the world, was always a colorful character, not quite in the same way, but it was always a colorful character. But we've seen, so Alcaraz, he took Alcaraz to 5, just to clarify for those who didn't get it. He took Alcaraz to 5 sets in the first round. Taylor Fritz did get out of his match with Giovanni Mapecci-Pericard. He just won the 5th set 6-4 after trailing 2 sets to love, so he was pushed to 5. Alexander Bublik is now in a 5th set, and he's down a break, I believe, in the 5th set, which is a bit of a shocker to Jaume Munar. And obviously we had an upset of Pegula this morning. Some of us aren't too shocked by that, I guess. Anyway, there has been some absolute eyebrow raising results thus far. Do you have anything left today that is yet to start?
I'm against the American Ben Shelton. Ben Shelton.
So am I.
Alex Bolt's a decent grass player. This is a bad draw for him. Shelton's been wildly out of form. I will be blown away if he is just a clean win today. I have a very small play on Bolt to pull off the upset, but my bigger plays are into the handicap here for Mr. Bolt.
So Bolt plus the games from Drew and a sprinkle on the money line. I'm all about the money line myself. I'm Bolt $3 dog here. Bolt, as I was saying earlier, Bolt, one of the rare players where you actually have over 100 grass court matches to actually lean on with data.
A bunch this year too.
Yeah.
A reason to root against Ben Shelton? I'm in.
Yeah. Is that you don't have to twist your arm to fade Ben Shelton?
I'm good, yep.
If you're really not a fan of Ben Shelton and his attitude, let's call it, according to Kelly. Okay, what else do you have today? Anything else?
That's the last one for me today.
Okay.
I tend to take it pretty easy in round one because it is chaos here. The general kind of shape of the men's outright pool has not changed for me, despite the fact that Medvedev is gone and The prince who was promised at the front at the French Open, Lorenzo Musetti, out to Basilashvili.
Oh, your boy!
What an embarrassment! What an embarrassing result for Musetti. Yuck! I've avoided any collateral damage because it was suspicious that he played no warm up. After retiring in that French Open semifinal, the door is cracked for Alejandro Davidovich Fokina to come through in the third quarter still, which is exciting. I think that third quarter is just really awesomely weak, and there's a world where it gets even easier depending on what happens with this Zverev match against Rinderknecht, who's kind of sneaky, tricky to deal with. Things are shaping up nicely for me and some of the exotics that I played. I still think that the men's Wimbledon starts on July 13th when Sinner and Alcaraz take the court in the final. Women's Wimbledon, the Pegula result was a surprise, I thought. She is obviously, like, there was reason to be concerned with how quick the turnaround was from Bad Omberg. I don't know that she thought that she was coming into this kind of tournament a month ago with a reasonable chance to win, but maybe the result in Bad Omberg kind of put a little bit of added pressure on her. Like, oh, wait, now I'm in the spotlight. I'm expected to do well here. And she absolutely no-showed today. But that was uncharacteristic. Usually when she crashes out of these slams, it's against against the top eight type of quality player that I would not put Elisabetta Cocchieretto in that category.
Well,
so that was
I had a lean on Cocchieretto with the grass numbers, but I did not have the onions to play it. I did not.
So, oh no! Yeah. No. So I was somewhat surprised there. Not surprised that Mukova loses to Wang. Was just playing phenomenal tennis. A little bit unsurprised that Zhang is out of the draw at this point with a relatively weak effort against Siniakova, particularly in that third set. Fun match right now with your girl Iga. I've got some Iga in pocket. It's gonna take some luck. I've got some keys in pocket. That's gonna take some luck. She had a fight on her hands yesterday. we're at the stage where at the end of today there will be 64 women who can win.
That's the difference. That's Drew's headline for this tournament. That the men's tournament doesn't start till the final, and that every single woman can win the women's side. That's the podcast in a nutshell
Like Pagula's like gonna be okay, right? Like, I mean, she's gotta like change flights now, and like she probably had like reservations she's gotta cancel early.
She's gonna
like,
be okay.
That's quite a hit to the pocketbook.
Like, yeah, no, she'll okay, be all right. Yeah, yeah, she'll be
all right. You know, I worry about these things.
Yeah. By the way, real quick before we get off tennis, there is the U.S. Open, the only lone remaining slam later this year, obviously. They're doing mixed doubles, and the U.S. Open tournament paired. They took the responsibility of pairing some of these top men's players with top women's players. So you have these really weird pairings like Jannik Sinner and Emma Navarro, speaking of people who shouldn't have trouble if they lose a match.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see odds on the mixed doubles this year? Because I would like to bet this.
I would say almost certainly.
Okay.
Good. We haven't talked about this at all. This didn't come up on the tennis on the podcast preview because we were zeroed in on Wimbledon. But this is brilliant.
Yes, it is.
Job by the U.S. Open.
Agree.
If you haven't been paying attention, all of the slams have been efforting hard to go from a 2-week event to a 3-week event, and bringing people into that first week is very difficult because the tennis stars are either taking time off, they're playing exhibitions, they're in tournaments all over the world trying to win that 250 title to get those ranking points and that prize money, and so there's not really clear focus on the start of the tournament itself. This is the perfect way to make that first week, there's an exhibition vibe to it, but this is the perfect way to make that first week really interesting for people. And they made some tweaks to the format that are going to kind of really, really tickle the tennis casuals, right? Like, you're not going to sit down and not know how long these matches are going to go. These matches are going to go fast, and you're going to be, you're not going to be able to look at your phone and also know what's happening. because the action is going to be going so fast. There's no advantage. There's no ad, right? So you get you win that fourth point. You win that game.
Deuce, like, meaning, doesn't matter if it's deuce 40, is a 40. Winner. So whoever wins the deuce point is a winner.
You win the point at 40-40, you win the game.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, which is going to make for fun, exhilarating, kind of higher volatility, you know, kind of win probability in a match. And then the shortened sets, the tiebreak, third set tiebreak, all of it, these are smart tweaks to really kind of answer the questions of the tennis casuals who maybe don't really even like tennis, who are like, the matches are too long. We never know when it's going to end, you know, like, okay, well, this is your answer to that. So,
there's no clock. That's right.
There's no clock.
That's what my dad used to say.
Scoring is so weird.
Scoring is weird.
Are these the biggest complaints tennis has?
Yes.
Cause you know, like the one thing that's kept me on the sidelines the most is mainly just the time zones. Like the fact that it's being played in Europe so much, like that's what's different. The U.S. Open, I've got no problem with the U.S. Open.
This was my dad's reaction to baseball. We tried to, like, he loved football, but we tried to get him to, like, enjoy baseball. He's like, there's no clock. And we finally took him to a game in Baltimore. He goes, I can finally see the field. You don't realize that in baseball, they never show the whole field.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I complain about soccer and the clock all the time, so I should probably shut up. Yeah. Like, I never know exactly. You got a clock, and I still don't know how much time is in your game.
Anyway, I bring it up only because when they do post that, I really do believe it's one of these rare it's one of these betting markets that the books will have no clue where the value really is.
And absolutely,
we'll see how much we're able to get down on it. But I cannot wait for mixed doubles. I already have doubles team in mind.
I got my pick too. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Fritz Verbacher.
Shelton Thompson. Who did you say?
Oh no. Yeah.
Who did you say?
No. Fritz Verbacher.
Shelton Thompson, baby. Let's go. Coming back with Drew.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game live from Circus, Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Meeting the Book, GV, New Jersey, New York, regarding Kelly's one-score game rant. I was at Ohio State for Urban Meyer's first year when they were bowl banned, but went 12-0. They went 6-0 in one-score games, and a lot of people talked that offseason about that being unsustainable. Ohio State's response was to score 40-plus each week.
That's right. That's a good plan.
You're right. It was completely unsustainable in the other direction. Jesse Welch, this new cell phone commercial with Zoe Saldana where she's offering to dig through her purse to give the guy random junk is ridiculous. Yeah, but it's Zoe Saldana. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't complaining. It was, I feel like it was during a sporting event, like March Madness or something. I was like, yeah, she's on like three different commercials all of a sudden.
Oh, she is milking it.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either. Marcus Ferdinand, I sprinkled on the Jays. Most wins in July, thanks to you guys. Great show. Well, we're not on the Jays, but I did mention that it was a team that I considered. And then lots of Bobby Bonilla stories still coming through from everybody. James Fessler, Pegula losing the same day as the NFL guide comes out. A coincidence? I think not. Sure hope she's okay reading it on the way home while planning the Bills Super Bowl after party.
You think we can get her a free one? We got to get her a free one.
I think she can fork it over.
Okay. All right.
Drew Dinsett, kind enough to join us for a second segment. I want to get to NBA free agency because we just have a major move in the NBA. But real quick, let's just take a minute on this because the Tour de France is this weekend. Just reiterate your plays again, sir.
So the major market in this one is yellow jersey, which is your outright winner. It is a cumulative time over 3 weeks, 21 stages, and the favorite is Slovenian cyclist Tadej Pogačar. Pogačar remains the greatest cyclist on earth, and his kind of warm-up numbers that he put out at the Dauphine from a power standpoint were eye-popping. He is almost certainly going to win this Tour de France. I would put his probability in the 80-85% range. I was looking all spring and early summer for reasons to believe that Jonas Vingegaard was going to be able to put up a challenge this year. He's got a better team or a deeper team on paper, but it does not look like he has narrowed the gap at all, even being a little bit healthier in this prep cycle. So Pogačar, likely winner as the grand départ. Coming up this weekend. Timing wise, you're not going to really see major separation between the top two until like week two. So definitely worth kind of keeping an eye on prices to see if there's, you know, if Vindigo and his team make some noise in like the Pyrenees before they get to the Alps and Pogacar is saving it for week three, then you might be able to get in at a little bit better price down the road. But Slovenian's winning his fourth yellow jersey, his Maillot Jaune.
What else do you look to bet in Tour de France, Drew? Like, is it stage by stage for you? Are there matchups? Is it over under times in stages? Like, how does it work?
Stage by stage betting is a thing, but it is full on throwing darts.
Yeah,
you don't really ever know what team's strategy is going to be in terms of who they're sending. Right, like there'll be a breakaway on every given day, and unless you are kind of in the team meeting and you know who's going in the break and why, you know, you're never really going to have the inside, you know, the insight to pick those off. There, if you are following closely with some of the news outlets in Europe, you will get word where a guy will do a press the day before and be like, we're going to win this stage tomorrow. Like, we're going to do it. And you know, they'll be like nuggets that slide across the news feed like that. But when you're betting stage by stage, or really just expectations stage by stage, you want to know what is the style of today's stage? Is it a hilly stage? Is it flat? Is it a mountainous climb? Is it a mountain stage where you're finishing at the top, or is there a technical descent at the end, right? Like, those are sort of the factors that are going to inform what you would look to bet on a given stage. And most of the stage winners that are sprint stages, there's like five guys who could realistically win any sprint stage just because it's such a curated skill. I'll definitely bet into the green jersey market too, which is your points classification, which you get for winning stages across the breadth of the tour. So yeah, a lot of ways to bet it, but I'm mostly just in it for the views of friends.
Okay, to the NBA. This just came down. Our buddy Wyatt Tomchek here behind the glass, podcast extraordinaire producer, among other great roles here at VSiN. He is a Bucks fan, and he is pumped. The Milwaukee Bucks have just signed Miles Turner after 10 years with the Pacers, and of course a run to the brink of an NBA championship, to a four-year, $107 million deal. Miles Turner, the latest free agent move in the NBA, and a big one at that. Give us your overview of NBA free agency thus far, your reaction to that.
Just to add on here, this is a developing story. The Bucks, from Shams, waiving Damian Lillard and stretching out the remainder of his contract over the next 5 years.
Whoa.
In order to make room for Miles Turner.
Whoa. Hey, thanks for your service. Sorry about that, Achilles. Wow. All right, Drew, your reaction to all that and free agency in general.
Yeah, wow.
Like, that's that a huge a move.
Wow, man.
Man, the Bucks are... I got to look at their finances.
That one's going to take a while to digest.
Six years. That this team is in a weird spot. Weird roster. Miles Turner, my original thought was, boy, that's a lot of money for a guy who's probably going to just about to enter the decline of his career. But he is younger than I realized, even with as much service as he's had in the NBA. He's a pretty young guy. This might actually end up being a pretty fair deal for them. It's a younger, similar style of player as Brooke Lopez, a little bit less rim protection, a little bit better shooting and offensive production. So, you know, it's a more expensive, maybe higher ceiling Brooke Lopez. Okay, good luck. I think the Bucks overall are still a team with way too many massive holes to take seriously in the Eastern Conference, even though the Eastern Conference is a joke. The big winners so far in free agency for me were the Nuggets first. The Nuggets moving MPJ and getting an asset like Cam Thomas was masterful. I did not have really any expectations for this front office when it was announced. I was like, okay, well, it's good luck, guys. That was a really nice piece of work by them. I think the people are still sleeping on the Nuggets as being your second most likely winner of the title and the West. The market is still wildly hot on the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets are making moves like they don't really have a clear self-assessment. you kind of need other pieces other than what they are spending their money on. I'm not sure that they have anywhere close to the offensive ceiling that gets them a win in a series against a team with a Jokic or an SGA. Maybe even not enough to beat a win a series with a team that has a Curry or a Luka. So the Rockets, despite all of their spending, look to me still like a clear third tier in terms of title contention in the West. The Spurs, I thought, made some nice moves. No one's going to really stand up and take notice with the Luke Kornet signing. But efficiency wise, this year, Luke Kornet was the fourth best Celtic.
Yeah,
like it sounds crazy to say out loud, and that's the kind of thing where Charles Barkley's, you know, the Charles Barkley quote comes to the forefront. And it's like, well, if the numbers say that Luke Kornet's the fourth best Celtics, then the numbers are stupid, you know. but he's a really, really nice young player on the ascension. Overall, I think the Spurs are putting together a nucleus that's going to be, very clearly, a problem in the West alongside the Thunder for years to come. So nice job by them. In the East, the only team that I've really kind of been taking notes on and impressed by has been the Atlanta Hawks. They have put together a really, really compelling young roster and good nucleus. And there is a weird, very cool, kind of market-wide feeling about Trae Young. Apparently Trae Young is a really good offensive player. You squint at the numbers and Trae Young and Jalen Brunson are effectively the same guy out there, and I don't really know why you would think that the Knicks are somehow likely to win the East thanks to Brunson, but the Hawks are not in the exact same position with Trae Young as their offensive anchor, considering all of the other pieces they now have around him who can do exactly, maybe even better job of fortifying his weaknesses defensively than what the Knicks can do for Brunson. So Hawks are going to be a problem in the East, I think, as a surprise for a lot of teams, just the way that that team has been constructed. And, a lot of it depends on health. Jalen Johnson, I don't really know what to expect in terms of, how he looks coming back off that massive injury. Porzingis, who the heck knows if he's even available for more than a third of the season. But the Hawks were the biggest upgrader for me in the East by far.
Great breakdown, Drew, on all that. And I want to say that Miles Turner, just to clarify, 29 years old, only 29 years old, which is interesting with NBA ages, because when Cam Johnson went to the Nuggets, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he's that old. He's 29 years old.
Yeah.
I said the same, same thing, same age. Drew, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Awesome. You guys, best of luck. Enjoy the rest of Wimbledon.
To Whale_Capper for all of Drew's stuff. Coming back with some MLB next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Once again, another reminder that our NFL betting guide is now officially out and available. If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide is your first real edge, and it is available. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Lock in our football special for just $175 and get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including every betting guide, daily best bet emails, 24/7 video, and all the data and tools on VSiN.com. The early bird pricing expires July the 31st on that, so don't wait. Sign up today. Get your copy of the NFL season betting guide, vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. You still reeling over the Bucks?
I'm sitting over here. I'm just continuing to read details of this, and it's mind-blowing. And I think just to bring it back a couple years now, Gil, you and I were obviously sitting here doing shows together. These are two of my favorite players in the NBA to watch. And the fact Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo, the fact that they just really could never get anything off the ground. I
was
going to
say, what was your favorite moment of the Giannis Dame era?
It's just sad. It's just sad. And then you wonder with what they did with Dame. My next thought now is, man, you've got an up-and-coming Portland team back out west. We heard all these reports and rumors about Dame in his first year, how really the move affected him way more than he thought. He was very homesick. He had his family back in Portland still. You know, are the Blazers able to get a cheap Damian Lillard back in the rotation as kind of a farewell tour before he retires?
Yeah, but he's not playing this year.
Not playing this year. I'm talking another year down the road probably, but you get another year for this young Blazers nucleus to come together. I don't know, man. That might end up fitting really well.
I didn't see that coming. Alexander Bublik, by the way, done in 5 sets first round of Wimbledon. Didn't see that coming. We get tweets. I just want to read this one. This is from Chance Copperpot. So DraftKings waited till late in the day yesterday to do July most wins, and that's my only out for July. Two questions. Would you still bet the Mariners at 9-1, and did you do that? I think we did do that. We definitely had a big part in that. I would not play it at 9-1. I wouldn't. 20-1 was one thing. 9-1 is a totally different thing. So not quite as juicy to answer your question, quite honestly. Okay. Now, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Usually what happens, a little behind the curtains here, is that Kelly, for 6.5 years, I did this show kind of by myself, right? I scheduled all the guests. I just sort of had an outline as to what I was doing. Yes, there were producers, but I'm going to do what I do, and I'm going to steer the show as I want it to. And then Kelly shows up after 6.5 years of this, and he actually provides rundowns. And I'm like, what the heck is this thing? Where there's like an order to events on the show. And I'm like, okay, let's see what we got. So some nights he gives me homework. There's like a segment I don't see coming, right? He finds a market somewhere. And so I have to sort of like, sometimes it doesn't take much research, but other times it does. If I want to do it thoroughly, and I try to do it thoroughly. We tried this last month, and it produced, this is the most labor-intensive, resulting in fewest bets thing that we do. This is at least that's how it happened last time when we did it, where there was like three teams are like, if you had to play three teams, I would play these. Let's try this again. This is Major League Baseball teams. This is some of the bad teams. Can they get to 70 plus wins and what those odds are? And some of the good teams in baseball, can they get to 100 plus wins? And what some of those odds are.
Which is clearly, I like that Gil and I don't even discuss this, but no. that's always my intention, right? It's the, let me throw the good teams to get to 100 at them and the bad teams to get to 70. Gil's also being nice because the party's leaving out of the daily routine. Usually I send the rundown every like afternoon. I'll get it started and I'll clean it up in the morning. I went and took a nap yesterday and then forgot to send it to Gil. So, yeah, right. He was rushed with his homework this morning.
And I had to be here early for the day.
And you had to be here early.
Yeah.
So you take the rest of the day off after this,
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's start with the bad ones first. These are four clubs in Major League Baseball. Odds to win 70-plus games when all is said and done in the regular season. The Washington Nationals, currently 35-49 in your standings. Currently 35-49 for a 417 win percentage. To get to 70 wins the rest of the way, they have to go 35-42. Remember, they're 35-49. So they've got to be better than they have been. By the way, they were the worst team in the month of June, record-wise. Okay, 35-42, maybe. They have to go to 455 clip. Strength of schedule is third hardest for those who care about that kind of thing. The point is, though, that you're only getting even money on this. That's terrible. It's a terrible bet. I'm not making that bet for even money. You kidding me? Let's go to the Pirates. They're currently 36-50 in the standings. To get to 70 wins, they've got to go 34-42 the rest of the way. In other words, they got to play better because they're 419 win percentage currently. They got to go with a 447 win percentage the rest of the way, even though their schedule is 25th, meaning it's the sixth easiest in Major League Baseball. You're only giving me plus 138 on them getting to 70? No, thank you. Athletics, currently 35-52 in your standings, a 402 clip. They got to go 35-40. They got to be way better the rest of the way. Plus, they got a top 10 in terms of hardest schedule remaining. And you're only giving me plus 158 on them getting to 70? No, thank you. By the way, are there no's on these? No, it's just one direction.
No, these are all just index props. What I'm scratching my head at is over here comparing to... So these are from FanDuel.
Yeah. By the way, Marlins, last one of these, 37-45 currently in your standings, 451. They actually don't have to play as well the rest of the way to get to 70. They just have to go 33-47, but you're only giving me plus 182. No, thank you. I'm not living through that bet. That's the best of those four, by the way, but I'm still not playing it. Oh, my God.
How are these prices this different?
You're looking at something else now?
Looking at DraftKings.
Okay, yeah, compare.
Pirates. What do we have, even money?
No, Pirates were plus 138 to get to 7.
Minus 205?
That's even worse.
At DraftKings?
What are these books doing? Who would bet this?
Marlins minus 115, A's minus 110.
Marlins minus 115, A's minus 110. So the numbers I'm quoting are actually better.
Yes, actually
way better than the ones you're quoting. And there's no chance I would play these numbers.
The Marlins, that's a...
Those numbers are criminal, the ones you just quoted. Those are criminal.
It's almost a dollar difference in the Marlins.
Oh, my God. Anyway, as you see on the screen here, I put it out. What I was doing here was I'm putting up the record. This is all this morning before the show. Putting up the record, what their PIFAG is, what they have to go to get there, what the strength of schedule is. And essentially all four of those, to me, represent bad bets at the good prices, the FanDuel good prices. Oh, my God, were those bad.
I'm still trying to figure out what I'm reading wrong. Like, how can DraftKings and FanDuel be this far off on the same market?
I mean, let's put it this way, from just a real life living through these bets perspective. And I'm not saying there's not one of these that will cash. And by the way, I said the Marlins is the best of the bunch, right? It could. But my point is this, of all the bets you can make with your betting dollar, why would you gravitate towards these? Why would you want to live through the next 80 plus games or 70 plus games, pardon me, hoping that the Pirates, for instance, can go 34-42, so you can cash at only plus 138. Give me a break. Let's go to the 100 wins. So these are good teams in baseball.
Don't worry, no crossover here at all, Gil, because all DraftKings listed was the Dodgers at minus 290, and FanDuel has not listed the Dodgers at all.
So the Tigers are currently 53-32 to get to 100 wins. They got to go 47-30 the rest of the way. So they're a 624 win percentage right now. They got to go with a 610 win percentage the rest of the way. They have a super easy schedule, third easiest in all of baseball, plus 188 compared to what we have just talked about. Not a terrible number, right? The best in quotes of the bunch. Like, if you had to make a bet here, maybe that's the bet you make.
So these were, I did type up odds before these were reposted this morning, plus 200 on Tigers now.
Okay, so maybe that's a bet. It's in the maybe category. Yankees. Now this is interesting. So the Yankees the rest of the way have to be better than they are at their, they have to be better than their current 48-36. But as PIFAG tells us, they ought to be 54-30, so they're actually a better team than the record indicates. They've got to go 52-26 the rest of the way, which is exactly 2 out of 3 games, and you're getting plus 410 on that. Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
How about plus 520?
Okay, now we're talking, right?
But what is with these markets? That's a huge adjustment after one game.
Yeah, I mean, just go, 'cause now we're getting into the maybe you consider these bets. So the 1 to 100 are actually more interesting than the 70 ones. By the way, the Phillies plus 490 to get to 100. They got to go 50-27. I'm not playing that. That's way better than they are right now. Astros plus 520 to get to 100 wins. They got to go 50-28 the rest of the way. It's the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball. Don't like it as much as the Tigers or Yankees ones. Cubs plus 550 to get to 100 wins. They got to go 51-27 the rest of the way. That's a 654 clip. Not quite as much bang from the buck that I need. It's the fourth easiest remaining schedule in baseball, though. Mets 11-1 odds, but they got to go 52-25. Now you're getting into the ridiculous 675 the rest of the way. Rays have to go 53-24 the rest of the way, 688, even though it's 28-1 on that. I wouldn't play it. And then the most ridiculous, Padres 35-1. They got to go 55-23. That's over a 70% win percentage the rest of the way. I wouldn't play that either. So to me, of all those, Tigers and Yankees, perhaps the most interesting of the bunch. Don't do those 70 wins ones. Don't do that at all.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circuit Kill, Alexander Kelly Bidlin. Giannis not handling this so well.
Chris Haynes weighing in, breaking. Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo is, quote, not pleased with the team's decision to waive Damian Lillard, league sources tell him.
Oh, man.
Why would you do that if Giannis wasn't on board?
So my reaction without knowing that was, oh, Giannis must be,
right, yeah.
Giannis must be pumped about this. No, apparently not.
I I'm such a Giannis fan, man. This is getting weird in Milwaukee. Weird in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Also, Wyatt, who's a Bucks fan, telling us that, well, it makes sense now why the Dolphins let Jonnu Smith go in that trade yesterday. Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu for Minka Fitzpatrick with the Steelers. Darren Waller has come out of retirement and is going to play for the Miami Dolphins, or at least signed with the Dolphins. So perhaps the Dolphins had that in mind when they traded Jonnu Smith. So Darren Waller, who had his best years here with the Raiders, had a cup of coffee with the Giants after that, but was best known for his years with the Raiders. 32 years old now, getting back into the NFL, or trying to anyway.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, you will remember he was, came on late in his career, even with the Raiders. I just had to double check. So Dolphins are finalizing a trade with the Giants because Giants still had his rights.
That's right. Giants still have him. That's correct. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Michael Salvino, I was right outside the VEASAN studio a minute ago. Saw you guys in action. Thanks for always providing great info. Thank you. Chris Heath, our buddy, he says, I have two summer bankroll saving futures that he's counting on. Jays most wins, Blue Jays most wins in July, 16-1. And the Bo Sox, under 80.5 season wins, already looking at what not to bet during the All-Star break. Yeah, baseball, it's now that basketball and hockey are behind us, you're feeling itchy not making baseball bets, like you're starting to add baseball bets. Kelly Bidlin's getting in on baseball. Can I just say this? I don't usually react to segments we did after the fact. Those numbers to get to 70 wins for those teams were so bad. They're unbettable.
I'm still waiting for someone to like tweet in and tell me I was looking at the wrong page or something. I don't know how you can have the two national books, DraftKings and FanDuel, be that far off on a couple of those.
I'm not saying that none of them will get the Mariners might get there, right? But I mean, excuse me, the Marlins at +182, like creeps into, you know, approaching something you might want to bet. But like the others, you got to be kidding me. The 100 wins were better for sure. But I just, some of these things that they put up, you wonder if they put them up and they're just like, yeah, it's free money for us if anybody bets this. Like, why would you sweat through those bets?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
And then you throw out the worst numbers from DraftKings.
I'm trying to find, I'm just trying to find pure win totals up at DraftKings. Maybe I'm missing that because I was going to compare it to the price. Marlins are over 66.5 at FanDuel at -128. So then you go to 70 plus, what was it, like +185 or something like that?
Yeah, +180. That's
a decent pay for buck right there.
It's right? The only one that approaches maybe, yes. But again, do you want to, like, of all the bets you can make, that's what you want to bet on the rest of the year?
No, live
through a Marlins bet at +180? So what if you do win? You're like, yay.
I got +180 on the Marlins achieving something.
I mean, you bet a tennis match or a baseball game and you get that bang, right? Why would you do that? Speaking of which, every win at Wimbledon seems to then result in a loss. Anna Blinkova does not get it done against Maria Sakkari. So we lose that one. Still to come, David Goffin, +142 at Wimbledon. By the way, all of our best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN. Still to come at Wimbledon, I have David Goffin at +142. Veteran David Goffin. And Alex Bolt, which should start here momentarily. 3-1 dog against Ben Shelton. Those are the two remaining tennis plays at Wimbledon today. We'll see if we don't run into a curfew night ordinance. By the way, Goffin taking on Rinki Hijikata. Bolt taking on Shelton. Also, Iga 9-1 to win Wimbledon. She wins her first round match against Polina Kudermetova moments ago. Iga on her way with a win, 9-1 to win Wimbledon. And then Madison Keys yesterday, she had all she had, all she could handle against Elena Gabriela Ruse. But that was really no surprise because Elena Gabriela Ruse has great grass court numbers, so it's not a surprise that Keys struggled with her. But that's a good game. That's a good match to get past. So Swiatek 9-1 to win it. Keys 18-1. To win it. They both get their first round matches done here in the last couple days. And then the Mariners, 20-1, most wins in the month of July. It all begins today. Cannot wait a new month. And congratulations to anybody again who had the Astros in the month of June. They win it with some cushion, with at least a day's cushion. Back-to-back June winners. Never underestimate the heart of a June champion.
A no sweater out there if you bet Astros in June. No problem. You had a whole day to kick your feet up and relax.
Yep.
Although how many have we had finish
It's a great question. Not many.
Because it's they usually. I know I'm joking right now.
It comes down to the wire usually.
But it usually does come down to the wire.
They only the Rays, and that was the other thing. Only the Rays could catch him, so it wasn't like they were competing with a scrum of teams either. But you again, the
it's a little wild. We haven't had more months where it's been even 3-4 days and over already.
Well, July's the is the sprint, yeah. So I doubt we'll have a doubt we'll have a cushy one here.
For me, Bills most regular season wins +450. I'll shut up about it after this week. Probably I'll leave it on there. And then Yankees, I thought a great case by made by one Gil Alexander, enough to push me over the edge. Yankees -220 to win the AL East.
And then Borchard backed it up the next segment.
Yeah, he did.
He's on it as well with his numbers. Always nice to be backed up by Mark Borchard's numbers. Mark Borchard, speaking of the base winner, who I will do a Q2 MLB derivatives podcast with tomorrow. He is on the Dodgers Rangers in a moneyline parlay today. Dodgers Rangers wouldn't be a Borchard segment without a parlay. Dodgers Rangers, that pays about -102. I will shop around. And then he has straight bet. He's on the Twinkies today. It was -145 when it was mentioned earlier on the show. We put it officially at -156. And then Drew, we did not know this in advance either. A lot of cooperation with the guest today. No communication in advance. Drew is also on Alex Bolt against Ben Shelton. He sprinkled a little on the money line at 3-1, but he's most part of his bet is on Alex Bolt plus the games, +4.5 games. Bolt again, 134 matches on grass career, good grass player against Ben Shelton, who has not shown himself to be a great grass player.
Let's go Bolt.
What could go wrong?
I got a Bolt to get a bet in on Bolt.
Bolt was a player like a few years ago that he was capable of upsets on hard courts. And did ride him to hard courts, but he has not been on the main tour quite often.
Well, he's got a solid last name for hard court and grass play, right?
Bolt. If your last name was Bolt, what would you name your son?
I don't know.
Usain? There we go.
Bobby Bolt's got a good ring to
Bobby
it.
Bobby Bolt?
Yeah.
Bobby Bolt. All of that brought to you by GBank, the official bank of Visa, and all the bets for every show, recap, host, guest, sport, all of it, courtesy of GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. So there's that. So what do you make of the fact? So if, in case you missed it, the biggest news in the NBA this morning, once again, Miles Turner signed by the Bucks, 4-year deal, 29-year-old Miles Turner, who played 10 years with the Pacers. And we just saw, obviously, in the NBA Finals, key cog to the Pacers wheel. And to make room for him, the Milwaukee Bucks cut Damian Lillard, who famously ruptured his Achilles last we saw him in the first round of this past playoffs. And the Bucks send him packing, which is really surprising. And then we find out that Giannis is not happy about that move. What are the Blazers doing before? What are the Bucks doing?
My mind is blown. I don't like, okay, first of all, it was a little odd, the series of reporting, I think, that we got from Shams, but because Miles Turner is what we heard before we even heard the Damian Lillard part. I mean, initial reaction to that was, okay, I've been down on Brooke Lopez, especially this past year, but he just signs a 2-year, $18 million deal with the Clippers yesterday, which I think was a great get by the Clippers. Another thing you saw, I think was very evident with the Clippers and the Rockets yesterday, was I think you can read into some of the free agency moves. And it was, okay, the Thunder, maybe no disrespect to the Thunder, but we're all about loading up bodies to go after Jokic. The amount of bigs that were added to Western Conference teams, contenders yesterday, or teams that think they can be contenders, was notable. I think from the Bucks side of things, I don't know that Miles Turner had the greatest NBA finals. There have been rumors of him being moved out of Indiana for a while now. This seems like a pretty steep price to me for Milwaukee to pay. It's not steep, though, if that means you're keeping Giannis. But then the series of events after that of, okay, well, then Dame's gone and Giannis isn't happy about it. What's going on? I don't know.
Pacers weren't going to give Turner that kind of money?
Probably not.
That's what it came down to, huh? championship contender, not a championship contender. He's like, I'll take your money. Money Moves, speaking of that, is next. Story Bonatoni, Ariel Epstein, Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.